created everything and human beings, and he cares about his creation, all of it, and he cares about the human beings, the family of human beings, all of us. We are his dependents. He cares about all of us. We are planning for our future, and God has blessed us with his guidance, the people of faith, all of us, have been blessed with his guidance. We look for miracles. Are there any more miracles? And there are miracles all around us, but we are not really thinking of those things as miracles. It's a miracle, in my mind, that the people of faith have survived the troubles of this world, that civilization have survived barbarism, savagery. To me, these are miracles. That the people of faith are now having more charge of this world, this earth, than the ungodly. The ungodly have no place at the controls of the world. Communism was threatening the world of faith to convert the world of faith to materialism and a belief in materialism. But communism died. The death of the disbeliever. And now its people are returning to faith after 70 years of being dominated by communism, materialism, Marxism. To me, this is a miracle. Muslims in the territory that was once under communism have returned to their mosques, to their places of worship. Christians have returned to their churches, to their places of worship. And others are returning to their places of worship after being dominated for 70 years by those who said, forget about God, it's all about materialism. Wake up! The day is here that we've been looking for. And we should wake up and see it. This is the day of religion. This is the day of religion, when religion prevails over the ungodly ideas, the ungodly people and their ungodly ideas. I'm here, the son of Elijah Muhammad, enjoying comforts and great respect from people of the various faiths, leaders, and from the establishment, the business establishment, from the media. I'm enjoying great respect from them. Why? Because I stand for God and God's way. Nothing can explain the place I have now in your hearts and the place I have now in the world except my obedience to God and God's way. I'm not a college graduate. I'm not a wealthy man. I have no credentials that would impress you that much. So what is the answer? I have followed the way of God, and I have been sincere, and God has rewarded me. Look at the sun shining on us. So we plan for our future, and we plan for our future knowing that the future belongs to the conscious people. The future belongs to the regardful people. The future belongs to those who have respect for things that should be respected. And we want to be the friend and the co-worker of all the people who have that kind of makeup in them. We don't care whether they call themselves Jews, Christians, Buddhists, or whatever. If they got that kind of makeup in them, we want them to know we are their friends. We want to befriend them, and we want them to befriend us. We need them against those who are ungodly, against those who have no respect. We are here in the city of Philadelphia, a city that my father sent me to be a minister, to replace a minister that was here in 1958. Our first child, Layla, was born here in Philadelphia. She came back with us for this convention for two reasons. Naturally, she's a Muslim. She's with me, with you Muslims. She came back to attend the convention. But she came also to visit the city of her birth, Philadelphia. When my father sent me here, he said, "Son, I'm sending you to Philadelphia." He said, "The city of brotherly love, number 12. Now, when he said number 12, I was lost. I understood everything until he said number 12. I know 12, 10, 11, 12, 13, I know 12. But it was just a number. And it took me years of maturing as a student of Scripture to really register fully what he was saying to me when he said number 12. 12 represents the universe, the whole world. 12 represents the universe, the whole world. We have 12 months in the year, 12 signs in the wheel, the heavenly wheel. 12 disciples. 12 represents the universe. He was saying to me, "Son, I'm sending you where your soul wants to go. Because my soul wanted to be with humanity." And my father knew it perhaps before I did, that I wasn't satisfied to just to be calling myself a black man. I wanted to be a human man. I wanted to be a man with all men. I wanted to be a man after the likeness of my father, Adam, the first man. Not in his fall, but in his bright, shining form. I wanted to be a man like that. I wanted to be a man with all men so I wouldn't have to worry in my soul about what's going to happen to all of us. Because I know if some of us want to dominate others, then all of us have cause to worry. And I had no desire to dominate anybody. God has always blessed me to have a peaceful heart, a peaceful soul, to want to be just by everybody, fair by everybody, and never wanting to do any wrong. I thank Allah for making me like that and keeping me like that. Now, may I have my little umbrella I brought, that cap? My daughter has my cap. Tell her bring my cap, please. That sun is hot on my head. I need the cap. That's not a symbolic message. That's real. I need the cap. No, please. No attention to the cap now. The cap has finished its job. It's cooling my head. God wants us to know our life, our existence, the beginning and the end, or the beginning and the conclusion of things, so that we will live with respect, for what God established as life for human beings, and be all at the same time knowing the path of our progress, the path of our development, and what will be demanded of us as we live year by year, generation by generation. What will be demanded of us? God created us as one human type called Adam, that father type, that original pattern upon which all of us have been formed, the first human life that God made. And we know that as we begin to grow and multiply and produce, there is going to be demanded of us a uniting of effort, a working together as one. God made us one, and as we grow and demands increase upon us, we are going to have to live and work as one. We have lived to see on this earth our world become one living room for all of us on the many continents, Asia, Europe, Africa, America, on all the continents. We have seen all the men and women around the world and our children put into one living room now that the Africans called the village, the global village, we are calling it now, the global village, one village. It seems that we have just been put into one village or one living room. We can't escape each other. We have to see each other. Television will make sure that that happens. We're going to see each other. If we make a mess in one part of the world, that's going to affect another part of the world. The media will let us know it. Television will show us that mess. So we can't hide anymore from one another. We can't create problems for one another that won't be discovered for 50 years, that won't be discovered for 100 years. That used to be the world. The world of today is not that anymore. If we make a mess for each other that's going to affect the other, we are going to see it right away. So we have to live together. And this is God's plan. God says, man's community was once one community, community of our first ancestor. And God is telling us that to tell us that you have to prepare yourself to live again as one community. It doesn't mean we're going to become one political body or one national body or one nation. No, there are going to be many nations. It doesn't mean we're going to become one cultural body. No, it means we are going to become one in our respect for humanity, for the excellence of man created by God. And if we don't do that, we won't have a place in the future except a place in hell, suffering, miserable, in this life and in the next. God is greater, Allahu Akbar. Righteousness. We expect righteousness of any people who say they are religious. We expect at least a respect in them for righteousness. If they say I'm a religious person, then the first thing that comes to my mind is that they prefer a life of righteousness over a life of sin. A life of righteousness. But we vary as to how we state the meaning of righteousness. We need conditions to survive. We need certain conditions that God wants us, that put in us originally, and God wants us to keep. We need those conditions to survive. Righteousness. What is righteousness? In our holy book, the following is stated in the Quran of the meaning of righteousness. Quote, God says, remember we made the house a place of assembly for all people and a place of safety. And take you the station of Abraham. Ibrahim, we call him in Islam, the prophet, the second father. And take you the station of Abraham as a place of prayer. And we covenant with Abraham and Ishmael that they should sanctify my house for those who compass it round and use it as a retreat. Bow and prostrate yourselves therein in prayer. And remember, Abraham said, my Lord, make this city a city of peace and feed his people with fruits, such of them as believe in God and the last day. He said, yes, and such as reject faith, for a while will I grant them their pleasure. We wonder, how is it just that the wicked, the wrongdoers, the criminals, the mean people, the oppressors, how is it that they seem to enjoy the pleasures of life and the pleasures of the world, while we who are trying to obey God and be righteous are faithful at our, and faithful and good at heart, are suffering so much because of their wrongdoing? We wonder about that, don't we? Well, God says that he made all of this for us, for the faithful, for the doers of good. But he also granted that the wrongdoers enjoy it for a while. You know, I don't care how long your life is believed to be. You say, oh, how long am I going to live? 100 years. How long am I going to live? 70 years. How long am I going to live? 70 million years. You don't want to think that after 70 million years and one more year, death. You don't want to think about that. That all of that's going to be erased and you're going to be nothing. Gone forever, nothing anymore. None of us in our soul want to believe that. All of us in our soul want to believe that there's a higher life, a higher form of life. We want to believe that there's eternity, that God is a just God. Why did he make me fall in love with him? And then he's going to cut me out so I can't remember him. I'll be dead and gone and I won't be able to remember him. That's just like a beautiful woman with all of her virtues, making me love her and then telling me after so long, you're not going to have me anymore. You're not going to even be able to reach me. That wouldn't be right. That's not my God. I believe in eternity. And in my soul, I want a life that will live after everything else has passed away, of the material things, of the material nature. That's what I want in my soul. So God is satisfying me. I don't know about you, but God is satisfying me. I used to wonder, what's going to happen to the KKK who did those evil things to us? What's going to happen to those who killed little Emmett Till in Mississippi? I used to wonder, will they drink and have a party and party and party and die a natural death and not have to face the court of justice? I used to wonder. Now I don't wonder anymore. You might have laughed to the end of your life, but you're going to wake up in another reality and pay for your crime. So God says, such as reject faith, for a while will I grant them their pleasure. Isn't that a just God? He gave you a free mind. He gave you freedom of choice. Now, he's not going to take it away from you. Oh, God gave me freedom of choice. I want to jump in the fire. okay, now, this might be the last time you make any jump. I still want to jump in the fire. Okay, now, this may be the last time you make any jump. I still want to jump in the fire. Okay, now, this may be the last time you make any jump. I still want to jump in the fire. He hears nothing, and he jumps in the fire. And it's finished. Jumps no more. Says, but soon, God speaking on, but soon will I drive them to the torment of the fire. An evil destination it is indeed. That's Quran chapter 2, verse 125 through 126. Continuing these words from God, God says, it is not righteousness that you turn your faces toward east and west. We have to give up this superficial idea of what piety and righteousness is. We have to give up this superficial idea. Oh, you're religious, huh? And the average one, when he says that, he means you're not real, right? Well, let's see, is righteousness real? Let's continue to read what God has revealed. But it is righteousness to believe in God and in the last day and in the angels and the revealed books and the messengers of God, to spend of your wealth out of love for God, out of love for Him, on your kin, on your near kin, take care of the family. On orphans, take care of those who, the young children who are deprived of having the parent, a father, a mother, or one or the other, or both. The needy, and those who are children of the road, the homeless, have no place to go. They're just in the road, on the road, in the streets all the time. And spend for those who ask. For those who ask, the beggars, we call them. For those who ask, spend for them, give them something. And for the ransom of slaves, captives of war, or slaves who have been enslaved by rich or powerful masters, spend for their freedom from slavery. To be steadfast in prayer, this is righteousness. That's what we're talking about. God gave us this to the Muslims in Quran, or to any people who will accept it. God gave us this definition of what righteousness is, what piety is, what righteousness is, and to practice regular charity. Don't just give when you got a lot. Feel an obligation on you to keep giving, whether you got a lot or a little. My mother used to tell me, she used to send me to the temple. It wasn't called a mosque back then. She used to send me to the temple of Islam. See, we have been a people in transition ever since we heard the first word, Muslim. We've been a people in transition, called temples of Islam. My mother said, son, she said, I'm giving you a nickel. That was way back there, you know it was back there, a nickel. So I'm giving you a nickel. She said, when you get to the temple, you ask them to let you donate and give that nickel in charity. And I would do it. My mother taught me charity as a little boy, the size of my son who's here now. He's 9 years old. And it stayed in me. It stayed in me. Sometimes a person approached me and they looked like they're alcoholics, called wine heads, you know. They look bad and pitiful. I don't say, no, I'm not going to give you anything, because you're not going to do anything but hurt yourself some more with it. Take another drink. I give them something. And I say to them, now don't mistreat yourself. Now if they do it, at least they got help more than the couple of dollars I gave them when I told them, don't mistreat yourself. And they were ready to listen to it because they saw the $2 coming. continuing on the meaning of righteousness according to the Quran, the word of God to us, and fulfill the contracts which you have made. It also means a promise, not only a contract. It means the contract, a business contract, an agreement that you made, a serious agreement, but it also means your promise. You promise, make a promise, keep that promise. That's righteousness. To be firm and patient, in pain, while having pain, you're paining. To be firm and patient in pain. The Christians know about this. To be firm and patient in pain, or suffering, or adversity, and throughout all periods of vexation, panic, when you press so hard you just can't control yourself, you want to panic. God says, be firm and patient. What in the world can keep me that way, firm and patient, except faith in something that I know to be bigger, more powerful, and in control of the things that are making, that are trying to make me come out of my peace, come out of my firmness? That's God. If you perceive God correctly as having all knowledge, omniscient, knowing all things, omnipresent, present everywhere, close to you, closer to you than you are to your own self, yet farther away from you than you can imagine, and yet as close to you as your own jugular vein. If you perceive God to have power over all things, to be in control of everything, testing his human beings, testing you, you will remain firm and steadfast. Like Abraham, they put him in the fire. They said, finished with Abraham. And they opened the furnace and looked in there, and something had happened. He was cool. He was cool. God has power over the flames. Allahu Akbar, God is greater. Such are the people of truth, the God-fearing. Such are the people of truth, the God-fearing. Now, many of us readers will miss what God is saying here. Righteousness, what is righteousness? Righteousness is also truthfulness. Truthfulness. The righteous are the people of truth. And righteousness is faith. In the beginning, the definition of righteousness is you believe in God. You have faith in God. So it concludes with, such are the people of truth, the God-fearing. In these crowded days, when our growth is crowding us out, fearing there will not be enough on this earth for all of us, that the population is going to double in about 5 years, we're fearing the end of things. Fear nothing that happens in this world, for God has charge over all of it. I'm not fearing what's going to happen, that we are not going to be too crowded. I know if we're going to be too crowded, God is going to show man the answer. God is going to give man the answer. And when I say man, I mean man like was in the beginning of time. In the beginning of time, man and woman was one entity. And he caused them to separate and become male and female. From one entity, they became male and female, and then he caused them to mate, and from those two came all the people, the many, many millions on this earth. Yes, we believe in the conclusion of things, and we believe in following God's light so that we will know how this world is going to be concluded. It's going to be concluded with us returning to oneness. Returning to oneness. Oneness. One God. One design on creation. One system of matter. One destination for all things perishable. And that oneness protects our differences, and it protects our diversity. That oneness is our protection. Keep with faith in one God, that's your protection. Believe that your human family is one human family of many families, the black, the brown, the yellow, the red, of all other families, but one family. And believe that in your soul, you want the same thing for your children, for your future. If you want to satisfy the children that you have, go to any mother and ask any loving mother who's sane what she wants for her children. And if you don't know, she will tell you. Because sane mothers, healthy-minded mothers, they all want the same for their children. Likewise for fathers. Sane fathers, healthy-minded fathers, they want the same thing for their children. So shouldn't we then work all together for the future of all of our children? People seem to think that today we still have a big problem of race, that racism is a big problem. Well, it is a big problem, but it's much smaller than it used to be. You still have the lonesome, frightened racist going out to get attention from the media so he can tell the world we're still here. We haven't accepted the order of the day. We're still around. Don't take that as a great disturbance, that now we have to go back to the past, say, oh, racism is still alive, as some of our politicians, demagogues say. Racism is alive and well. How can it be alive and well? It was sick to begin with. That tells me something about his makeup. No, you know, in desperate times, you have to understand the desperation. With the world now, all favoring respect for humanity and the inclusion of all people in humanity, equal opportunity and equal respect for all the races, the black, the whites, the brown, the reds, for all people. This is a very, very aggravating time for those who still have the mind of the white supremacist. A very aggravating time for them. They don't have any place. They don't have any honor on the stage of the world. So it's very aggravating for them. They used to have the great nation of America, the great United States. They used to have the great United States tolerating the law of segregation, tolerating the Jim Crow law. Well, it's raining on you. And I just saw a little girl stand up, and she put up her hand. She's welcoming the rain. She's welcoming the rain. She's getting a cool shower. If this is the price we have to pay, what a small price. In fact, I'd like for my podium to be pushed forward to the rain. Can we push this podium forward in the rain? Yeah, get the cars out of the way. Take the cars out of the way. Yes, do it as far as you can go. Hit the mic drop. Now I feel better. Allahu Akbar. So we have to understand the time and how the times have changed to favor humanity and not those who don't believe in humanity. White supremacy has no faith in humanity. White supremacy separated itself from humanity and pretended that none belonged to the creation of God, or none was worthy of the high place that God created for man, except the white supremacists. So that was a cruel lie put on them. Now that I'm free of that aggravating time, I don't have to worry that someone is going to take me out and lynch me or enslave me again. Oh, yes, you do have a cause to worry. No, brother, you're wrong. I don't even have to ask the government to stop that. I have enough brothers with me to stop that. It ain't enough of them around to satisfy these brothers that's been training to whip somebody for a long time. I don't worry about that. I feel sorry for them. My heart goes out to them. Why? Because my beginning was similar to theirs. The man who came and introduced my father to religion gave him the same idea that they had. We were told that we were black and supreme, and that whites were evil and wicked by nature, that they were inherently bad and naturally inferior mentally to us. I'm giving you exactly what we were taught. And now God has saved me from that and have given me peace in my soul. So when I see a racist still tormented by the lie that was told to him of his worth among human beings, it makes my heart go out to him. I want to grab him and hold him even in chains long enough to teach him out of that misery that the world put him in. And I say the world put him in that misery. He didn't do it to himself. The world did it to him. Our oneness supports our diversity. Our oneness supports our diverse cultures, our diverse languages. You know, we all, from the different quarters of the world, have our own languages. But God has made it so any of us can learn the other's language. So anytime we want to, we can declare for all of us one common language and not do away with our separate languages. And that's what's happening whether we ask for it or not. The world is bringing us to a place where we're going to have to be able to speak with each other, speak freely. It's too close now. We're too close together. Time is not separating us, and distance is not separating us anymore. We're going to have to speak one common language. Naturally, the Muslims will say that common language should be Arabia. Al-lughatil Arabia, yahi. Excuse me. It has to be the Arabic language, my brother. That's what I just said, you know. And the English would say, why create so much of a problem for ourselves? Since English is already so popular, why don't we make English the language of the whole globe, the language of the globe? I don't care. Because God says the majority are going to hell anyway. I don't care. I can be in a majority or in a minority. It doesn't matter with me. So if the Arab, if the language of the world become Arabic, I won't be any more comfortable, because God says the majority are going to hell. So let the majority language for all of us be English. Let it be Arabic. Let it be Spanish. Give the Spanish a chance. Let it be Spanish. I can speak Spanish pretty good already. I have a little head start. All a joke. The point is, God is bringing us together. He says, as you were in the beginning, so shall you be in the end. In the beginning, you were the human being. He made you with the human soul he gave you. With the human soul that he inspired in you. God in you. You understand that? You sitting there thinking that God is a billion light years up there, away from us. You're right. More than a billion light years up there, away from us. But God is also right there with you in your soul, between your heart and your bloodstream. God is there between your mortal life and your heart. God is right there watching what is happening to you, that is influencing you and working on you, that's coming from outside of you, and watching what's developing inside of you. Yes, your heart, watching what's happening inside of you. And he's right there saying, well, he think he's gone. He think he's dead. But I wake him up and let him know that I was here all the time. Yes, closer to you than your own jugular vein. That's what God told Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him. Closer to you than your own jungle of Ain. And God said, when my servants asked about me, tell them I am near. N-E-A-R. Tell them I am near. So Baptist preacher, you don't have to holler so loud. No criticism. Just a little help to you. You don't have to destroy those lungs like I used to do when I was a desperate minister for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You don't have to go home and can't talk to your family. So hoarse you can't even talk to your family. Take 2 days to get those vocal cords back in shape. You can whisper and God hears. Tell the congregation, you don't have to call on him too loud. He is near. He hears the thought that makes no sound. That's what God says in the scripture. Praise be to God. So let us not go to sleep and forget any of the bad things that occurred in history to set us back or to destroy our humanity. But let us not step back in the past with those things to live back there with that dark and troubled time. Let us recall it just for the purpose of knowing how to avoid it in the future as we march forward with more things favoring human life now than ever have existed since the world began, except when there was a garden. The garden that God placed man in. But after the garden, after the loss, after the fall, after the man was put out of...